And go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, we're going to be in verses 39 through 49. So Luke chapter 6, verse 39 through 49. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the day that you've blessed us with. Thank you, Father, for guiding us through it, watching over us, providing for us, allowing us to be gathered together tonight. Father, I ask that you would bless the reading of your word. We ask that you would teach us, guide us according to your will tonight. Father, we ask the Holy Spirit would take your word and into our hearts, giving us the understanding that we need, helping us to be able to apply it to our life. Father, as always, we do want Christ to be lifted up. We want you to be glorified. But Father, we do want to hear from heaven. We want to be drawn closer to you. Father, we want to be guided by your word. It is the lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Father, as always, bless the children as well in KidVenture. Help them to have fun. Lord, keep them safe and help them to learn the Bible lessons. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Jesus is at the end of his Sermon on the Mount. And here he is at the end of his teachings. And he gives them a parable. But then at the end of the parable, he tells them, those that are listening, those that will listen and take heed to the things he taught them and apply it to their life, they're like the man who builds his house upon that solid foundation. And it is representing us who build our life upon Christ, Christ being the perfect foundation for every believer to build their life upon, and for every non-believer to choose to build their life upon Christ, obviously first accepting him as their Savior and then building their life upon him. Because as Jesus even says, when the storms come, and they do come, and the winds beat upon it, and the flood rises upon that house, that dwelling place, that because it's built upon that solid rock, it will not be moved. And those that obviously do not build their life upon Christ, when the same storms come, that life, that house falls, and it's a great fall. Tonight I want to talk to us about, through these verses, just following the Lord, being surrendered fully to follow the Lord and allow Christ to have his rightful lordship over our life. Again, as Jesus says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. And we as believers are to be following the Lord, allowing the Lord to lead us each and every day. Notice in verse 39 and 40, the fact that we are called to follow. He spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect or mature shall be as his master. We understand tonight, and we already know that without Christ, there is no direction, there is no wisdom, and we desire direction and wisdom in our life. And the reason why we do need to continue following the Lord is because blindness can and will be a hindrance in any life. Again, in verse 39, he says, can the blind lead the blind? And no doubt, we don't want to be led by someone who does not trust the Lord, does not follow the Lord. Paul even said to the church at Corinth, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul wanted those to follow Christ, but he didn't want to be that example that others could follow and see a pattern, the pattern of Christ in their life. But again, as starting off with verse 39, we follow the Lord, we choose to follow Christ because blindness is a hindrance in any life. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, the Bible says, and we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And you read that verse, it's obviously it's talking about salvation primarily. It's talking about salvation that every single person has gone astray. And obviously the Lord being the good shepherd, he goes in search of the lost sheep. He finds that lost sheep. He finds the one that has strayed, puts the one on his shoulders, brings it back to the fold. He's always drawing people unto himself. But again, we are blind without Christ. Think about a sheep who needs to be led. And God considers us as sheep. You go to Psalm, as I was reading earlier, just before the service, Psalm 23, where David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David understood what it was like to be a shepherd, but also to be, as the Bible again describes, the sheep following the shepherd. As Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I am known of mine own. I'm known of my sheep. Again, we need the Lord in our life. Again, in the days that we're living in, you and I and every believer needs to follow Christ more. We need to understand that, you know what, there is a hindrance with blindness. Blindness, not knowing what is happening, not knowing where we need to go, not knowing what's going on in life, yet we follow the good shepherd who knows where to lead us. And he leads us beside the still waters. He leads us into the green pastures to provide for us. But when you think about just the blindness, because Jesus says, can the blind lead the blind? And when you read, when you start at Matthew 5 and you read through Matthew 6, you know that not only those that listened and were drawn to the words of Christ and followed Christ, but even those that rejected Christ, the Pharisees, the scribes, the others as well. Jesus here, when he says, can the blind lead the blind, shall they both not fall into the ditch? It was kind of a rebuke to the Pharisees, but also exhortation to the common people that they needed to follow something that was true. They needed to follow the one, Jesus Christ, who is the light that comes into this world, the light that lights every man that cometh into the world. Those that did not follow Christ, they were spiritually blind, and they were leading people that needed to have the light of Christ in their life. Now, we are naturally blind spiritually. Every single person that's born in this world we know is spiritually blind. And God has provided a light for us so that we can know the way. And obviously, the light is the Word of God, because the Word of God teaches us and shows us who we need to follow, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we are already believers and already born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, we've put our faith and trust in him. We understand the Word of God guides us through this new life and helps us, as I like to look at God's Word as a toolbox. A toolbox that gives me the tools to be able to build my life upon the foundation that's already been laid for me and for you, which is Christ. But Psalm 119 and 105 reminds us, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We understand God's word gives us insight. It illuminates us spiritually so we can see where we're at, where we need to go according to God's plans for our life. In Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So as we think about verse 39 and 40, we're just reminded that God's word gives us the light that we need in this life so that we can continue building upon the foundation that God's given us so that we will not be deceived, will not be led astray. We will not even do as the scripture talks about the foundation that's been laid. Some will use gold, silver, precious stones. Some will use wood, hay, and stubble. Those wood, hay, and stubble things that they think are right to build their life upon Christ and continue building their life upon the Lord and following the Lord. Yet, when our life is tried by fire in the end, not to see if we're saved or not, but just to see what will stand that we have done in our life since salvation, there'll be some things that are burned up because we're human and sometimes we choose to do things that are not eternal. They have no eternal value to them. They're not really helping us to be built up in Christ. And the things that have been used that is precious, like gold, silver, and precious stones, the Bible talks about things that were of God that we did adhere to and apply to our life, those will test. Those will pass the test of the fire. And again, it's not about whether or not we're saved. God just tries everything in our life, and we want to adhere to following the Lord. We want to be surrendered to following the Lord each and every day because the goal of every believer is to be more like Christ. And we can't do it on our own. It's the Holy Spirit in us that helps us to be conformed into the image of Christ. But again, as we think about it, our life is new. We're new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. And when you look at verses 39 through 49, it really does talk about the lordship of Christ. He is Lord of our life, and he wants us to build our life upon his foundation because his foundation is unshakable. It's unmovable. It cannot be destroyed. When I think back to the Old Testament of just where the Bible talks about that he took us out of the miry clay and he set our feet upon a rock, that rock being Christ. He's given us stability in our life through Jesus Christ. And you look at verse 40 again, it says the disciples, and this is Christ speaking, the disciples is not above his master, and Jesus is our master. He is the one that we're to follow. He's the one that we learn from. We are his disciples. We're patterning our life after Christ. But everyone that is perfect or mature shall be as his master. Again, our goal in life is to be more like Christ in our mind, in the decisions we make, in our attitude, in every aspect of our life. But it's not something we can do by ourselves. It's something the Holy Spirit does in us. As I've told you this before, I tried for years to control my tongue, as a good person. But every now and again, you know, the cursing and stuff would come out. Someone who is just saved but not really building their life upon Christ, what's in the heart comes out. What's in that person's heart, what their life is being built upon, does come out. And that's why Jesus even says towards the end that, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And what comes out of our heart, we do want it to represent Christ. We do want it to show others that, you know what, Christ is what our life is all about. He is our goal because he has given us new life. Look at, if you would, at 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. With Jesus being our goal, he is the one that we are to study. That's what a disciple does. A disciple studies the master, sits at the feet of the master like Mary did and so many others, and listened to the teachings and listened to how to apply the teachings. And they would, again, a disciple would mimic their master and follow the ways of the master. And we desperately, in our days, need the Lord in everything that we do. And we know that. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. But we need to always be looking to Christ as our goal in all things. How? Even Before I even read 1 Corinthians 11, just, you know, what I'm about to do, how will it glorify God? How will it show others Christ in me? I'm always convicted about the testimony that Peter and the others had, that when they were confronted with the religious rulers, the Pharisees, and they even, you know, the Bible says that they said of Peter and the others that they were ignorant men, because everyone's going to judge you based on themselves. I didn't say everybody, but some people will. Some people will judge you based on themselves. But obviously Christ is the goal. Christ is who our life is measured after. And when they said that of Peter, yet it says that they took notice, though, that they had been with Christ. There was something different about them. Because you know what? As they were being belittled, berated, as they were being mocked and even scorned and even told, you know, don't teach in that name, don't speak the name of Christ, yet there must have been something about Peter's demeanor, just like Stephen, when in Acts chapter 6, when Stephen was caught in the midst of those that hated Christ and hated his faith and hated his message and were stoning him. And before they stoned him, the Bible says that they looked on him and he had as though it was the face of an angel. Simply meaning there was actually no fear. There was no anger. I mean, just complete peace. And that's truly what represents a true follower of Christ, someone who is building their life on that foundation. There's just complete peace in their face. That in their countenance, there is a glow about them. There's a peace about them. They're not confused. They're not angry, regardless of what anyone says or does. Jesus is our goal. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11, as he writes to the church of Corinth, says this, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am Christ. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." God's goal for each of us is that we not only would be followers of Christ, but because we're following Christ so much and our life is being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, that it shows Christ in us, that whether we say it or just by our actions, we're trying to lead others to follow Christ. We're trying to lead others to trust in the Lord. Again, we know that we have that responsibility to try to bring somebody else to Christ that does not know Christ as their Savior. And we want to have that testimony that speaks volumes of Christ changing a life. But also, as Paul would encourage Timothy, be an example of the believers. We want to be able to lead others to follow Christ, and they would be able to look at our life and look at our testimony and know that, you know what, they always trust the Lord. They're always relying upon the Lord. They're always lifting up Christ. They're always giving credit to the Lord, because lost people need to come to a place where they follow Christ through salvation and giving their life to the Lord. But those that are already trusting Christ, we always have room to grow. And I'm always, you know, even though I'm a pastor, I'm always getting encouragement by other people who are following the Lord. And they're not necessarily someone who is a pastor. Someone who just has a very close walk. I mean, a close walk with the Lord. I have people in my mind, and even just a couple days ago, I even told my wife, I wish so-and-so was still alive, because I would love to call him and just get some advice. And he was my first pastor that I met in Wisconsin that helped me tremendously. And he was like a father to me. He was a mentor to me. Even after he stopped pastoring and retired, and he would keep up with me at different times, just send me even. I've got the last letter he sent me, just encouraged me in some things before he passed on and is with the Lord now. But, you know, there are those in your life that, you know what, they have such a testimony that it it helps you to want to follow on, to follow Christ. And that's what Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Now, that might be a little scary. You might be like, well, I don't really want anyone to follow me, because if they look too closely, they're going to see all the fallacies. They're going to see everything that's wrong with me. But that's why Paul said, even as I also follow Christ. Christ is the goal. Christ is the one that we're looking to. And Paul just wants people to know that, hey, you can follow Christ. Because honestly, you know what? If we think about Paul's life, Paul says, be ye followers of me. So if we follow Paul's life, we're going to find heartache, turmoil, trouble, hatred, all the things that Paul faced in his missionary journeys, in just being a child of God. But yet, even though we can see all the difficulties he had, in all those difficulties, we will see the grace of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the help of God, the light of God in his life, just encouraging him along the way. Because think about, and I have not arrived. I definitely need the Lord to continue to help me. But as I think about Paul, you know where Paul is sitting when he writes the majority of his epistles? When he writes to encourage Timothy, he writes to encourage Titus, he's sitting in jail. Undeserved, sitting in jail, but instead of focusing on where he's at, he's so focused on trying to encourage other people. He's so focused on helping other people to, look, follow me as I follow Christ. Okay, I'm sitting in jail, but my focus is the Lord. And our focus on the Lord is what helps us to get through those trials that we face in life. And as we allow the Lord to be in control of our life, allow Christ to have complete lordship over our life that he bought with his precious blood, we'll find many, many blessings and many, many encouragements along life's road. I want you to take your Bibles, go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And look at verses 5 through 8. Yeah, as Paul writes to the church at Philippi, to the believers there, he says, let this mind be in you. Okay, first of all, he says, let this mind be in you. So he wants us to exercise the mind of Christ, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The fact that Jesus humbled himself and he became obedient to the Father's will. The Father's will for Christ was to die on Calvary for the sins of the world. And to die that cruel, die on that cruel, rugged old cross. That was God's will for him. He became obedient to that. He humbled himself and became obedient. And you know what? God does want us to walk in humility. God wants us to think about others as we live our life for the Lord. Just go back and look at verse 41 through 45 of Luke chapter 6. Because, you know, as I think about the fact that Paul again says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ, you and I have great opportunities to be a great influence to our families, to our friends, to our coworkers, to be able to just show them how to follow Christ. And again, like I said before, how to trust the Lord. I mean, you know, just thinking about my children, but even also my grandson, who doesn't, you know, he doesn't live in my home 24/7, but every time I see him, you know, he puts such a smile on my face. He gets to what I call wagging his tail, but he's like kicking his feet, you know, just so happy to see Poppy, and Poppy's happy to see him.
But I know that, you know what, even though he is my grandson, you know, and he's not in my home 24/7, yet I still want to be that example to him, to show him how to follow Christ, where he sees Poppy's relationship with the Lord in day-to-day life when he sees me. And I want the same for my kids as well, that they see the example of Christ in me so they can follow that. They follow to trust the Lord. They follow to just rely upon the Lord and to build their life on that foundation that's unmovable, that foundation that's unshakable, that foundation that's always faithful. And it's always there to hold us up and to give us the stability that we need. Look at verse 41 through 45. Jesus says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" I mean, just as you read on, not we necessarily in this room, but we in general, people, we have that tendency, because Peter did this at the Sea of Galilee with Christ, we have that tendency to want to look at others and what others are or are not doing. Because when you think about when Peter, obviously Jesus came to Peter at the Sea of Galilee, asked him 3 times, "Do you love me?" after Peter denied him. The Lord showed him that, you know what? The Lord still wanted to fellowship with him. Christ still wanted to use him in a great way. And the Lord still wanted Peter to follow. And as the Lord says, "Follow me," Peter turns and says, "What about him?" You remember that account where he kind of points to John and says, "Well, wait, what's he going to do?" But our life is about the Lord working in our life, that we aren't supposed to compare ourselves with others or to point out what others are or aren't doing. What matters is, am I allowing the Lord to truly be Lord of my life, to truly guide me? Am I truly following? Am I truly being a disciple where I'm growing in the Lord, where I'm allowing the Lord to do his work in me and through me, building me, helping me to be that building that is on that firm foundation so that when the storms come, that I will, not because of myself, but because of Christ, be able to weather those storms. And the only way we can do that is to walk in humility. Again, just continue reading, look at verse 42. "Either how canst thou say thy brother, 'Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye,' when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Again, we want to always walk in humility, reminding ourselves, I'm following Christ. He's the one that I want to build my life after. He's the one I want to pattern my life after and build my life upon. And when we walk in humility, it's truly a Christian under the lordship of Christ that will allow the Lord to be in charge of their life, because we know our life belongs to the Lord and our life is not better than anybody else. We're all growing in the Lord and we all want to be built upon that foundation. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. As Jesus talks about the mote in our eye, and we're pointing out the beam in someone else's eye, humility teaches us that we're not to be critical. When we walk in humility, we will not be critical of others where we think whether they are or are not doing what they're supposed to. We'll be more concerned about what we're doing. Again, when you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, before I read it, my mind just goes right back to Paul when he said, "Follow me." But yet he wasn't wanting people necessarily to follow him. And what he did, he wanted people to follow Christ. He wanted people to see Christ in him and how Christ helped him in every situation, how Christ transformed his life. Because, again, humans are just that. They're humans. Sometimes we will pick out the flaws in somebody else's life. Sometimes we'll think about someone's past life, because you know what? You can never forget what Paul did before Christ came to him on the road to Damascus. But Paul doesn't even forget it. He allows it to be something that helps him to move forward in his life. Helps him to move forward. He even talks about filling up the things behind with goodness. Not that he's working for salvation, but the fact he's reminded, you know what? I want to outdo all the bad I did by doing good and following the Lord and allowing Christ to work in my life and to use me how the Lord desires to. Again, humility, though, is not critical. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked. And what's the error of the wicked? The wicked being those that are lost, those that don't follow Christ. They believe they're fine. They believe everything they do fine. Everybody else is wrong. Fall from your own steadfastness. He wants us to remain steadfast in the Lord, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But grow in grace. What does that mean? Think about the grace that you and I have received in our life. Think about what the Lord has done in your life and how the Lord has helped you to overcome certain things in your life and to give you victory and to help you to feel that you are accepted in the beloved because of Christ. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Again, reminding ourselves that, you know what? I am a vessel that the Lord has cleaned and is filling with his Spirit. I am a vessel that the Lord has transformed drastically, radically, a vessel that he is filled with his sweet Spirit, just as he transformed those water pots at that wedding in Cana, had those servants fill those water pots up to the brim with water, and then when they bore out that water to the governor and those at that wedding, it was wine. But they knew from whence it was, because again, when Jesus touches a life, there's something sweet that happens. There's something sweet about the Holy Spirit in our life. But not only does humility is not critical, but humility sees the need for growth. Look at verse 43 to 45. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree is known by his own fruit. Every tree is known by his own fruit. Again, as we allow the Lord to truly be Lord of our life, guiding us, directing us according to his will, we want to build our life upon the foundation of Christ. We understand that we need to grow. There's not a believer at any moment that will never need to grow as long as we're on this side of heaven. Once we see Christ face to face, then we will be made perfect. We'll receive our glorified bodies. But until then, we want to continue desiring to grow in the Lord, continue desiring that our building, that's us, that our building would continue to be made stronger in Christ. The foundation's perfect. The foundation doesn't need to be improved. The foundation is Christ. He is perfect, but the building needs to continue to be improved. Honestly, I wish, you know, just thinking about our church building, I wish it didn't need maintenance. There's things that have to be, you know, just things don't last forever. And you've got to, like, maintain it. You got to replace things. Same in your home, your car, whatever. But, again, we understand that because the Lord's working on me, well, there's always going to be room for growth. And we want to have that heart that, as the psalmist said in Psalm 139 and verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. never forgetting that, you know what? I can easily lead myself astray. I can easily go astray, not wanting to, but that's why it's important that I remain close to the Lord. That's why it's important that I continue to ask the Lord to lead me and to work in my life and to help me to become the strong building that is planted on that solid rock. The psalmist said in Psalm 26, verse 2, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." Again, it's having that desire that God would continue to work in us, continue to build us, continue to establish us and help us to be rooted in Christ and growing in the Lord, that even as it says in verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, that Lord, help me to bring forth good in my life that glorifies you and testifies of my relationship with you, that again, others would see and they would have a desire for what you can do in their life as well. But all of us obviously need to often open our hearts before God and saying, Lord, here am I, you know, search my heart. Help me to know where I need to grow and help me, Lord, to be a disciple of Christ. You know, you think about being a disciple of Christ. You really have to stop and think about what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? It's not something we just do on Sunday and Wednesday. It's something that is every day. Lord, lead me in your way. Lord, help me to grow in Christ. Lord, if my mindset's not right, Lord, help me to have the mind of Christ. Lord, if I'm not doing like Mary and sitting at your feet and listening to your word as Jesus says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house and dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock. Lord, help me to continue building my life upon Christ. Lord, help me to even know if there's some material that I'm using that is not good material, that I should not be using that type of material. Because you think about construction crews when they go to build a building, a good construction crew will use the best materials. They'll make sure, obviously, they make sure the foundation is good, and obviously our foundation is Christ, but they'll make sure that the material that they're using is the best material for that building that they're building, and we want the Lord. Lord, help me to have the best materials. Help me, Lord, to dig into the toolbox of your word and to use the tools that I need to so that I can have a life that is solid in Christ, a life that is growing in the Lord, a life that is built upon the truth of your word. Because look at verse 46 through 49. Jesus says, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And obviously, I mean, just that verse 46 is convicting in itself, and it does call our attention to even question ourselves, do I really follow everything the Lord says? Because he says, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He's speaking to a crowd that is there, a crowd that he knows who is and isn't really listening to him. Some are just there to be healed. Some are just there to be fed. Some are just there for entertainment. They have nothing else to do. But he knows that there is a remnant. He knows there's a small group that's there that really has that desire to know the Lord and to follow the Lord and to allow their life to be impacted by Christ. And I believe that's the same here tonight. But he says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." That life that is built upon Jesus Christ. Again, the foundation is for sure. But unfortunately, unlike this church building, this building has a choice. This building can choose to allow itself to be constructed and maintained by the builder, by Christ, or choose to do something different, allow some other material to come into the building that is not of God. Now, God desires for us to have a spiritual house that is strong enough that when the floods of life come, we stand strong because we're built in Christ. Look, if you would, at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, because there's two things that we need to do in order to build upon the truth, and that is first, consent to the truth. Consent to the truth. Again, that's why Jesus says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Those that hear the truth of God's word, those that see the word of God, and that being the building material, the tools, they apply it to their life. They consent to what is right. Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In 1 Thessalonians 2, 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, as Paul writes to the believers at Thessalonica, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now again, there are many that do not believe they have the word of God. They don't believe that the Bible in their hand can do anything for them. They'll use words like, you know, we don't have the originals and stuff. And I've gone over that before, and I won't go over it again tonight, but as Paul says to the believers of Thessalonica, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God. Again, this is what builds our life, and every believer's life is the word of God. This is what helps us to be mature, perfect disciples of Christ, because we are allowing ourselves to be built upon the foundation of Christ through the tool that God desires to use in our life, which is his word. So not only consenting to the truth, but also building with the truth or building on the truth. Go back and look at verse 48 real quick. Luke 6, verse 48. And then we're going to jump to 1 Corinthians 3. And it's wonderful that Jesus uses the illustration of building a building. Verse 48, on a rock, something that's solid. Verses 49, building on sand, something that is not solid, something that's shifting. Again, this world shifts a lot, and the philosophies of this world shift a lot. But the foundation of Christ never does shift. Again, he is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, in those verses, he says, other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But then in verse 10, he says, I've laid the foundation. Now, there's no contradiction there. Paul's saying, I've laid a foundation. I've put the foundation out there. Christ is the foundation, and he's the one that we're to build our life upon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Again, building on the truth, making sure that as believers we are taking the truth and we're using it to build our life upon Christ, who is truth. And Jesus Christ is the perfect foundation. We know that for sure, for every life to be built on. And every life that's built upon Jesus Christ will most definitely be blessed. Look at James chapter 1 as we come to a close. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and look at verse 22. 22 through 25. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, the Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now, God doesn't want us to be deceived. God's not the author of confusion. God's not a deceiver. God is light. God is truth. He gives truth. He gives light. Obviously, the devil is the God of confusion. He is the deceiver. "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Now, you could say he being not a forgetful builder as well, because we're to be building our life upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. But notice at the end, he says, this man shall be blessed in his deed, in his work, in what he does. And when we follow the ways of the Lord and we build our life upon Christ, the way that God wants us to. Now, go back and just look very quickly at Luke chapter 6. And just look at, again, verse 47 and verse 48. Verse 49, we don't need to go over that. We understand verse 49 says destruction will come if our life is not built upon Christ. All right? Now, it doesn't, again, verses 48 and 49 lets us know that the same type of storms come against both buildings. One that is built upon Jesus Christ, one that's built upon the sinking sand or the ways of the world are just, you know, even, you know, man's opinion. And the only one that's going to stand the test of time and stand the trials is Jesus Christ. And it's a testimony. Think about it. The testimony is not that the building is something great. The testimony is it's got a great foundation. The foundation is firm. The foundation is perfect. That the foundation is solid, because the spiritual life built upon Christ is being held by Christ. What makes us anything is Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." It's not really me, but it's Christ that we're following. It's Christ that we need to put our eyes upon. It's Christ that we need to follow and listen to. And even pattern our life after and letting him build us up into a strong building. He is like, or verse 47, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it." Could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. You gotta ask yourself a question. How soon are you shaken in your mind when it comes to spiritual things or worldly things? Do you find yourself at different times shaken in your mind, troubled? Because if we are solidly built upon Christ and we are allowing ourselves to be built up in the Lord, that, again, no matter what we face, we're not troubled in our heart or mind because we're steadfast in Christ. We know that Christ is our stability. He is our stronghold. He is the one that possesses our life, and he's the one that protects our life and guides our life. And that's why Jesus at the very beginning said, "Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?" Well, we're not following the blind. We're following the light of Christ, who's not going to lead us into a ditch. He's going to lead us according to his will. He's going to give us insight and wisdom. And as we build our life upon Christ, we'll find stability emotionally, stability spiritually, and we will be able to face the storms of life, face the trials and even the temptations of the devil, because we are tempted throughout life, Yet we can stand upon the solid foundation of God's word that, you know what? My life belongs to the Lord. He is Lord of my life. He's the one that's leading me. I'm the one following him. And I know that he will give me the strength to face anything that he allows in my life because he wants to magnify himself in my life. Again, when you look at Jesus's his parable and then the truth of what he says at the end, the focus is not the building. The focus is not the storm. The focus is the foundation, which is Christ. When the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee, and they did all that they could to try to bail water out, try to get their boat to shore, and they couldn't, and in desperation, they turned to Christ and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus stood up and rebuked the winds and said, Peace, be still. And when it became a calm instantly, the Bible records they fell down at his feet and worshiped him and said, What manner of man is this that even the winds obey him? Because he's the master. He's the master of everything. And he should be the master of our life because when we truly do allow ourselves to be the disciples of Christ, we find not only a completeness on the inside, but we find just peace. We find that, you know what, everything's under control. We find that, you know what, our master truly is the master of my life. He knows exactly how he wants to build this building to bring him glory and to use to help other people see that they need to follow Christ as well. There's been, and it's probably might be a poor example, but there's been buildings I've seen, houses I've seen, different things I've seen. Man, that I was impressed by those buildings. It was like, man, those builders knew what they were doing. Those craftsmen. I mean, as you call them craftsmen, depending on, you know, just what the building looks like, and just like, wow. You know what? The builders of this world do not compare to the builder of heaven, Jesus Christ, and what he can do in a life and how beautiful he can make that life because he is truly the master. And we have to allow him to be the Lord of our life. And when we allow him to continue to be the Lord of our life, we will be amazed at what he does in our life and with our life.